Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, July 21st. Permian Basin to generate record amount of natural gas. The story was written by Kyra Buckley of the Houston Chronicle. The U.S. is expected to continue its reign as the world's largest natural gas producer this year, as European countries seek alternatives to Russian sources after the invasion of Ukraine. Analysts at Norwegian firm Rystad Energy predict that U.S. natural gas production will exceed 100 billion cubic feet per day by the end of the year. Driving the growth are two major gas-producing basins, the Appalachian from Alabama to New York, and the Haynesville from East Texas into Louisiana. Gas pulled up during oil production also is expected to hit record amounts in the Permian Basin of West Texas and New Mexico. The Permian is the country's most productive oil field. The output prediction comes as U.S. producers look to boost liquefied natural gas exports to Europe and other countries. U.S. regulators have approved expanding LNG export terminals, but construction can take years. Quote, already the top gas producer in the world, the U.S. stands ready to boost output further to meet the global demand, but takeaway constraints are a serious risk, said Christine Vaspot, senior analyst with Rystad. Quote, however, with new LNG capacity expected to be added after 2024, the U.S. is set to grow its role in global gas markets for some time to come, end quote. With no end in sight to Russia's war, natural gas companies are racing to get LNG projects built along the Gulf Coast to fill the growing demand in Europe, where Russia has long been the primary source. Investment in gas exploration and production also has been increasing, boosted by surging natural gas prices in the U.S. and abroad, according to Rystad. For years, investors in the U.S. had grown used to natural gas prices at about $2 per million British thermal units, but at times this year, it's traded close to $9. The U.S. Department of Energy Statistics and Analysis Arm, the Energy Information Administration, says July natural gas output is expected to rise to 92.3 billion cubic feet per day. The EIA expects that to increase to a record 93 billion cubic feet per day in August. The Permian Basin is expected to produce a record 20.5 billion cubic feet per day in August, and the Haynesville a record 15.5 billion cubic feet per day, according to the EIA. At this pace, Rystad said, the country is on pace to surpass the EIA's original prediction of 96.2 billion cubic feet per day for 2022. O'Rourke reiterates support for oil gas jobs. Candidate wants to see Texas energy leadership expand into clean energy. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Beto O'Rourke's slogan of being a governor for all Texans was tested when a heckler disrupted the start of his Midland town hall at the MLK Community Center. Quote, you're welcome to be here, but you got to be cool, the candidate said to the man. Even if you're critical of us, I'll give you the microphone, but you have to be respectful, end quote. The heckler was taken out of the meeting, and O'Rourke restarted his town hall. He began by telling the crowd of going into a convenience store in Pecos, where he held a town hall earlier in the day, and meeting two men who were employed by a pipeline. Oil and gas jobs, he told the crowd, make the Permian Basin a success, fuels the U.S. economy, and offers energy security. Quote, as long as we depend on fossil fuels for transportation to keep the lights on, I want it to come from Texas, he said. But he also wants to add to the state's energy leadership by expanding that oil and gas expertise into clean energy, he added. Wind power, solar power, geothermal energy, hydrogen, battery storage, someone will come up with the technology to make those energy sources as reliable and affordable as fossil fuels, he continued. And I want that to happen in Texas, and I want it to be headquartered in the Permian Basin, end quote. He repeated that position to a questioner who told him she was a lifelong Republican who had 7 children working in the oil and gas industry. Quote, I want to protect and expand energy jobs, including in Midland and Odessa, he said again. We're dependent on fossil fuels now more than ever with Russia invading Ukraine, which he estimated reduced global energy supplies 10%. The Permian Basin, he said, could fill that 10% gap with perhaps more that could be exported to support U.S. allies while also advancing clean energy. That same questioner asked him about border security, and he pointed out that he and his wife live and are raising their family in El Paso. If immigrants want to come here to join family members or find jobs or claim asylum, he said they're welcome, but they must follow the law and do so in an orderly fashion. But he also called for a revised immigration system, quote, that matches our ideals, our necessities, our values, end quote. The next question came from my 9-year-old, who asked what was the most important thing he would do to make Texas better if elected governor. O'Rourke said he would focus on creating a world-class school system with the best teachers so young Texans would get the best education and be able to fulfill their goals. And cost shouldn't be a barrier to going to school, he said. He pledged to raise teacher salaries so they don't have to work second or third jobs to support themselves and their families, and to give school system retirees their first cost of living increase since 2004. He said he would focus on health care, decrying the loss of rural hospitals, and pledging to bring back the state's Rural Scholars Program that paid the cost for medical students in return for them agreeing to spend 6 years providing medical care in rural areas. He cited one recipient of that program who is now in his 10th year working in Fort Stockton with no plans to leave. He said he would expand Medicare, saying expansion would provide billions in health funding to rural areas, bringing in new providers, and perhaps reopening some hospitals. Improving veterans' access to health care is also a priority, he said, noting that more than 20 veterans commit suicide daily. He also decried the fact some veterans are living under bridges or on the street. Referring to mass shootings in El Paso and in Midland, Odessa in 2019, and the recent shootings in Uvalde, O'Rourke called for measures like universal background checks, red flag laws, raising the minimum age for ownership to 21, and safe storage laws. He also called for the removal of AR-15 and AK-47 weapons, saying they're good for the battlefield, but don't belong in communities. Not everyone will agree with his positions, he acknowledged, but everyone should be able to find some common ground. This is commentary by Steve Thomas, president of Midland College. New Pre-K Academy Teaching Center is culmination of vision, determination to help students be successful from day one. During my tenure as the 4th president of Midland College, I have often reflected on how fortunate we are to live in a community with so many generous donors and with such a can-do spirit. The latest example of this is the new Midland College Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence. construction for this new state-of-the-art facility is underway. It is a two-story, 60,000-square-foot building designed to house the pre-K academy on the first floor and classrooms and offices on the second floor for Midland College's expanding education programs. The decision to build a new facility and to gain approval for the Bachelor of Applied Science in Early Childhood Education from the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board did not happen by circumstance or overnight. These conversations started in 2015 when Educate Midland was formed. Educate Midland, funded equally by Abel Hanger Foundation, Henry Foundation, and Scarborough Foundation, consisted of community leaders and educators from both the private and public sectors of our community. The top priority of Educate Midland was to support and assist the Midland Independent School District in improving the academic performance of all students enrolled in the district. Through many discussions and after reviewing and analyzing student data, two barriers were identified that are key to why many students are not prepared to enter the first grade. Those barriers are the lack of pre-K educational programs and the acute shortage of qualified teachers in early childhood education. Numerous reports and educational research clearly demonstrate that if students are not prepared for first grade, they will not be reading by grade level in the third grade. They will struggle academically the remainder of their time in school, and many will not complete high school. It was during these formative conversations that it became clear that Midland needs more educational opportunities for pre-K students, and we need more qualified teachers. Midland College was asked to help mitigate these problems. In partnership with MISD, and with the generous support from the Midland Development Corporation, the Pre-K Academy at Midland College was established in 2019 with an enrollment of 68 3- and 4-year-old children. We also began the process of applying for approval for a new baccalaureate program in early childhood education and obtained this approval from the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board in 2021. This fall, Midland College will have its first cohort of students enrolled in upper division early childhood education courses, preparing to become certified as teachers in early childhood through third grade. A year from now, August of 2023, we will open the new Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence. The building will have the capacity to serve 288 pre-kindergarten students, and the Early Childhood Education Bachelor's Degree program will have an enrollment of 25 to 30 students. While these two new programs do not completely solve the problems of low academic performance in the district, they will help. None of this would have been possible without Scarborough Foundation, Permian Strategic Partnership, Abel Hanger Foundation, the Beal Foundation, Henry Foundation, Warren Charitable Foundation, Midland College Foundation, and numerous individual donors. The new Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence at Midland College is the culmination of the vision and determination to help students be successful from day one. As I stated earlier, Midland College and this community are so fortunate to have such unbelievable philanthropists and community leaders who believe that the investment in our children is an investment in a brighter future for our community. Steve Thomas is the president of Midland College. Here is an obituary that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, July 21st. Betty McFarland Jarrett of Midland passed away on July 18th, surrounded by family and friends. Betty was born to James S. and Helen L. McNulty on August 8, 1936, in Long Beach, California. She moved with her family to Midland, Texas in 1945. She was a 1954 graduate of Midland High School and attended Texas Christian University. She married the love of her life, B.L. Luke McFarland, Jr., in 1970. Luke preceded her in death in the year 2000. She later married R.P. Jarrett, who also preceded her in death. She is survived by her sons, James S. Brunette and wife Julie of Dallas, and Richard L. Corbell and wife Angela of New Braunfels. She has 5 grandchildren. There will be no graveside services, but a small gathering of family and friends will be held. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim. I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, July 21st. Commissioner encourages ECISD. Speaking virtually, Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath praised the progress of Ector County ISD at its Leadership University Wednesday. The event is being held at Crossroads Church through today. Morath has been in his job for 6.5 years and oversees 1,200 independent school districts with 500,000 students. He spoke about leadership and qualities chiefs need to be effective. He said he works with the most mission-driven people on earth. We are all born with certain talents, and we can nurture them or not over the course of the long and winding paths that God puts in front of us. And y'all have chosen to use your time, use your tremendous talents, helping children become the best versions of themselves. Literally making the world a better place. I am so honored to be able to serve you in any capacity that I can add to today, Morath said. When he first came to TEA, Morath said they did not really have a structured, coherent, strategic plan. I spent 6 months talking to students, to teachers, to parents, to school board members, to superintendents, to principals, and other district personnel, community members, business leaders, you name it, and we coalesced around this set of priorities, which there is really a remarkable degree of unanimity on. Everybody wants K-12 education to result in children that are prepared for success, and we really want all children. We don't care what they look like. We don't care what their family background is. We don't care where they live. We want our children to be prepared for success. And the success isn't just you graduated, have a nice life. It is that you will be launched into the next phase of your life, prepared to be successful, that you can go to college, not just pay a little bit of money and then drop out, but make it all the way through, Morath said. Strategic priorities are to recruit, support, and retain teachers and principals, build a foundation of reading and math, connect high school to career and college, and improve low-performing schools. Enablers for this include increased transparency, fairness and rigor in district and campus academic and financial performance, ensure compliance and effectively implement legislation and inform policymakers, and strengthen organizational foundations, resource efficiency, culture, capabilities, partnership. He added that students can join the military or go directly into the workforce with a career path that is going to allow them to take care of themselves and their family and meet their financial needs. Teachers are the most important factor that drives student outcomes, Morath said. We've got to be relentless on how we recruit, support, and retain teachers. Oh, by the way, teachers don't hire themselves. Leadership on that campus, the principals, and the culture that they create is absolutely critical to whether or not we're successful for kids, Morath said. We also have to think about the structure of what we do in the early grades, the early years. It is critical to lay a foundation of reading and math and strong literacy, strong numeracy in all of our kids. Otherwise, they will not be prepared as life gets more and more complicated, Morath said. He added that while staying focused on the earliest learners and their needs, educators have to be cognizant of what our kids in high school need and what are we doing to make sure that the high school journey is as rigorous and as connected to what comes next for them, Morath said. He pointed to the RISE campuses growing their own opportunity culture and the teacher incentive allotment, where initiatives ECISD has implemented that have made a difference. Morath said the teacher incentive allotment is not a grant. It's a line item in the budget and embedded statutorily in the foundation school program. We don't just want a few teachers to get to $100,000. We want them all to reach that level of efficacy, and these operational changes that y'all have made using opportunity culture in particular, that we've been trying to support as effectively as we can. This speeds up the growth curve of our teachers and improves their efficacy that much faster, and it's huge, Morath said. These are not isolated changes that y'all are making. You're putting it together in various thoughtful, systematic ways. I think about an initiative that we support called ACE, Accelerating Campus Excellence, which y'all have implemented under Project RISE into your schools. It is bringing all of these approaches to talent management together, as well as instructional practices together, and seeing an explosion in student outcome growth. This is remarkable, and it's part of a sort of thought process change that began in Ector County a couple of years ago as part of our System of Great Schools work, Morath said. Beto in the Basin, O'Rourke speaks about schools, guns, healthcare. Midland. Beto O'Rourke, the Democratic nominee for Texas governor, spoke to more than 400 people at the Midland MLK Community Center on Wednesday evening. The El Paso native's talking points included schools, healthcare, firearms, and energy jobs, with an emphasis on the oil and gas industry. O'Rourke is currently traveling Texas on his Drive for Texas, where he will spend 49 days on the road as he travels more than 5,600 miles to visit every part of the state this summer. On Wednesday, O'Rourke visited Pecos in the early afternoon and then came to Midland in the evening. There were 441 people that entered the MLK Community Center. Most of the chairs were occupied and many people were standing. A news release from O'Rourke detailed he is set to hold more than 70 events in more than 65 counties as he campaigns to become the 49th governor of Texas against Governor Greg Abbott. O'Rourke started the meeting a little later than was expected as multiple people continued to shout over the Democratic nominee. One man was escorted out and another continued to shout until he agreed with O'Rourke that he would be given the opportunity to speak during the Q&A portion. The man who agreed with O'Rourke to wait until the Q&A portion left before that happened. O'Rourke said during the town hall that he would cancel the STAR test. He said he also wants to pay teachers more so many don't have to get a second or third job. After he spoke about education, O'Rourke said he wants to expand Medicaid. When O'Rourke spoke about firearms, he said he wants universal background checks, red flag laws, and safe storage laws. He also said that for people purchasing AR-15s and AK-47s, the minimum age should be increased from 18 to 21. The last point that O'Rourke spoke about is keeping oil and gas jobs while also expanding renewable energy jobs. He said he wants Texas to be the leader for energy jobs in the future. Webster honored as Clerk of the Year. For the first time in more than 100 years, an Ector County District Clerk has been named Clerk of the Year by the Texas County and District Clerks Association. Clarissa Webster, who took office in 2015, received the honor during the association's 127th annual conference in Waco, July 10th through July 14th. Webster became eligible for the honor after first being named the Region 3 Clerk of the Year by her peers in 27 other counties. Her peers throughout the rest of the state then chose her by the top honor by casting virtual votes in advance of the conference. Although it's been more than a week, Webster remains tearful about her selection. She was thrilled about being named Region 3 Clerk of the Year and never dreamed she'd take home the statewide award. I had some of the best conversations in my life, and the last week as far as hearing what people think about you while you're still alive, Webster said. Little did she know that in the weeks before the conference, several family and friends had been asked to collaborate on a video for the unveiling of the award. When they announced it, they said there were three words to say about this person. She is knowledgeable, inquisitive, and friendly, and the video will say the rest. And then when the video kicked on, I was like, that looks like me. That is me. Like many people who love their jobs, Webster said she is passionate about many aspects of her profession. From being customer-friendly to preserving history to making things run efficiently for everyone involved. When she first took office, judges were still flipping through paper case files in chambers and on the bench because everything flowing through her office was still in paper form. Nowadays, 90 to 95% is filed electronically. We have come light years, Webster said. She and her staff have also taken it upon themselves to digitally scan every case file, logbook, and minute entry dating back to 1887, so they're available electronically. I think that we can learn from our history if we choose to, and it will prevent us many errors, but just having that history available. If somebody wants to go back and research their ancestry, and they're trying to find their adoption record or something like that, we have those all the way back, and that's important. If somebody is trying to qualify for Social Security benefits and they need to prove that they were divorced at a certain year, being able to come and get that. We have landmen that come looking at our records because they want to know how was the property parsed out in a divorce action or in a civil dispute. It's important that these records be kept in a way that they're retrievable, but promptly retrievable. You don't have to take weeks and weeks to research. Over the years, Webster said she has done her best to create a culture of friendliness and helpfulness, not only when it comes to customers, but within her office and with other clerks' offices throughout the state. I believe we have changed the culture of our office and that it's bleeding outwards, like a ripple effect through the association, to have an idea of being kind, courteous and respectful to everybody, but also to help elevate everybody, Webster said. As each of us gets better, the whole of us gets better. She is part of a group that has started a mentoring program for clerks, and she frequently allows other county clerks to shadow her staff, Webster said. She also readily shares any new forms or training materials she's created with clerks throughout the region and is always available to take their calls if questions arise. The mentoring program is very, very valuable. We are trying to create it in such a way that it will be perpetual and then will self-perpetuate through the coming generations to help maintain the integrity and excellence of our profession so that the court records are always kept in a great way and new incoming clerks can find resources and help that they need quickly, Webster said. Webster said she owes a debt of gratitude to God and a long list of people. My successes are to be credited to the Lord, who has given me all things, including opportunities, wisdom, and discernment, Webster said. The Lord has also given me the wonderful support system of love and encouragement from my husband, family, and friends, my team of amazing staff, especially my administrative and supervisory deputies, and placed mentors and advisors in my life who have helped me along my journey. Quick Hits, Young Adults Events. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Origami, Book Exchange, and Cleaner and Greener through Saturday in the Young Adult Department. For full schedule or more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Immunization Clinic, the Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled back-to-school 7th grade immunization clinic from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. today. Vaccines offered: Tdap, HPV, MCV4. Must qualify for TVFC vaccine and provide updated shot record. For more information, call 432-498-4141, extension 0. Children's Literacy and Reading Festival. Ella Noel Art Museum has scheduled a Children's Literacy and Reading Festival from 9 a.m. to noon today at the Woodson Boys and Girls Club, 1037 East Murphy Street. The event is free. For more information, call 432-550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org. Financial Resilience Charla. The Hispanic Heritage Foundation and AARP have scheduled Financial Resilience Charla from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. CT today. This charla will feature leaders in the financial space giving tangible advice on navigating savings and financial planning during this time of financial strain. We will also be hearing from members of our community share their personal stories of financial resilience. To register, visit hhf.page.link/finres. Ocean Cubes. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Ocean Cubes for ages 8 through 12 from 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. today in the library's basement activity room, 321 West 5th Street. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Book Talk. Ella Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Book Talk, Lessons in Chemistry, by Bonnie Garmus for ages 18 and older at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. Drinks and snacks will be provided. For more information, call 432-550-9696 or visit noelartmuseum.org. VIP Congress, Prevailing Word of God Ministries, 1920 North Jackson Avenue, has scheduled Victory in Praise Congress today through Sunday. VIP will start at 7 p.m. today, 5 p.m. Friday, 7 p.m. Saturday, and 10:30 a.m. Sunday. Visit tinyurl.com/33DPHU58. United Way of Odessa ready for campaign kickoff. The United Way of Odessa announced via press release that it has scheduled its 2022 campaign kickoff at 9:30 a.m. August 18th at the Odessa College Salisbury Campus Amphitheater, located at 201 West University Boulevard. Founded in 1951, United Way of Odessa supports local programs that impact the lives of one in every three Odessans. Currently, United Way of Odessa partners with 16 local partner agencies and 21 programs providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. The United Way also provides additional funding through ventures grants to United Way of Odessa as it prepares to come set sail at the 2022 campaign kickoff. This annual celebration officially kicks off the 2022 fundraising campaign. The event reflects the impact the United Way has on the community and inspires others to join the fight and become involved. This year's guest speaker is Austin Keith, followed by the 2022 campaign chair, Dewey Bryant. Bynum School receives donation from Chewy's Tex-Mex. Chewy's, the Austin-based Tex-Mex restaurant known for its made-from-scratch dishes and fun-loving atmosphere, presented an $8,256.83 check to Bynum School on Tuesday morning during a brief ceremony at the company's newly opened Midland area restaurant location. The check presentation ceremony celebrated the fundraising success of Chewy's Midland grand opening and the impact the funds will have within the community. Before its grand opening, the restaurant hosted a dinner and social media fundraiser supporting Bynum School, the only private school in the Permian Basin that provides year-round educational and vocational programs for students with disabilities, ages preschool through adult, a news release said. "We can't express how grateful we are for Chewy's support," said Bynum School Executive Director Carrie St. John. "Thanks to their generosity and community support, we will be able to continue to meet our students' academic, behavioral, and vocational needs." Odessan promoted to business banker. Chad Alexander, South Region President of First Bank and Trust, announced the recent promotion of Jessica Chavez to business banker. Chavez will office at the Odessa location at 7281 Tres Hermanas Boulevard. Jessica has been an integral member of the FBT team for many years, and she has shown a talent for business banking, said Alexander. "She is going to be a valuable resource for our business customers in her new role." Born in Big Spring, Chavez moved to Odessa when she was a toddler and has remained ever since. Her career in banking started in 2004, and since that time, Jessica has worked in several roles, honing her skills in customer service, operations, business banking, private banking, and lending. She has been a part of the First Bank and Trust team since 2010. She currently attends University of Texas Permian Basin and is working toward a degree in business. In addition to her career and furthering her education, Jessica serves as the secretary on the executive board of local nonprofit Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center. She remains active at her church. She has three children, whom she calls her three best friends, and she plans to marry her fiancé, David, in October, means she will add another daughter to her family. First Bank and Trust, a subsidiary of Heartland Financial USA, Incorporated, operating under the brand name HTLF, is a community bank headquartered in Lubbock, Texas, with more than $2.9 billion in assets. First Bank and Trust operates 20 locations, serving 15 communities in West Texas and the Panhandle. Since 1996, the bank has provided banking solutions to help individuals, families, and small businesses succeed, all while remaining an active and committed community partner. FB&T is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. Prime West Mortgage, a division of First Bank and Trust, operates 7 locations in 6 communities in Texas. ODC votes to expand area eligible for grants. More business owners located downtown or interested in moving downtown could soon have more incentive to spruce up their buildings. On Wednesday afternoon, the Odessa Development Corporation Board unanimously voted to expand the geographic area eligible for infrastructure grants up to $200,000 and facade grants up to $25,000. Right now, Tier 1 businesses located between North Sam Houston and North Hancock Avenue and West 8th Street and East 2nd Street are eligible for the grants. If the City Council endorses the ODC's recommendations, the boundaries for those grants will expand to North Washington Avenue and North Tom Green Avenue, and from West 9th Street to West 1st Street. The ODC also eliminated Tier 3 and Tier 4, meaning all businesses between Bernice Avenue and Adams Avenue and from West 10th Street to West 1st Street would be considered Tier 2 businesses and therefore eligible for infrastructure grants up to $150,000 and facade grants up to $18,750. Downtown Odessa Executive Director Casey Hallmark had originally recommended the board expand Tier 1's geography, but board member Chris Cole suggested eliminating the outer tiers for simplicity's sake, noting all four tiers are considered downtown anyway. Hallmark told the board she doesn't think the ODC has ever received a grant request from a Tier 3 or Tier 4 business. Downtown Odessa has really been focused on Tier 1, particularly along Grant Avenue, she said. I think the emphasis was intended originally to be the main corridor of downtown and really getting that rehabbed and brought up to code and encourage economic development in that core area. We're getting there. A lot of those businesses or buildings have participated in the grant, Hallmark said. By expanding Tier 1, Hallmark said the thought is they'll drum up more interest in the grants. I think this is an enticing opportunity for potential investors to come in and now spread out a little bit more, Hallmark said. In other business, the board voted to terminate a workforce housing infrastructure program due to lack of interest. For the past few years, ODC has been offering grants to developers to pay for a portion of housing infrastructure costs in the hopes of making housing more affordable for the Odessa workforce. However, city staff told the board Wednesday only $70,000 in grants have been awarded, leaving roughly $4.9 million available. Last week, ODC Chairman David Bouton said the board will discuss other potential programs in lieu of the Housing Infrastructure Program. Local and state news roundup. Body identified as Michael McBride. The Ector County Sheriff's Office has identified the man whose body was found south of Highway 302 on June 27th as Michael Heath McBride, 40. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said an oil field worker found McBride off to the side of a lease road and they believe he may have been there a few days. Autopsy results are still pending, he said. But after speaking to individuals who were with him prior to him venturing off the road, we feel that his death may be ruled accidental, drug-induced, Griffiths said. Fort Stockton man guilty of child porn case, Pecos. On Tuesday, a federal jury convicted Thomas Scott Perkins, 31, of Fort Stockton on child pornography charges. According to court documents and evidence presented at trial, Homeland Security Investigations, HSI agents determined through investigation that Perkins was sharing child pornography online. A search warrant was executed at Perkins' residence and multiple hard drives devices were discovered that contained 95,316 images and 1,237 videos of child pornography. Perkins was found guilty of one count of distribution of child pornography and eight counts of possession of child pornography. He is scheduled for sentencing on October 24, 2022, and faces up to 20 years in prison on the distribution count and up to 10 years in prison on each of the possession counts. Perkins has remained in federal custody since his arrest on September 14, 2020. U.S. Attorney Ashley C. Hoff of the Western District of Texas and HSI Special Agent in Charge Frank Barola, El Paso Division, made the announcement. HSI, with assistance from the FBI, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Public Safety, is investigating the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney Scott V. Greenbaum and Kevin Caton are prosecuting the case. Odessen, accused of calling X 140 times, a 55-year-old Odessa man, was arrested Tuesday after an investigation revealed he'd called his former girlfriend of 2 months 140 times over the course of 22 hours. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Ernest James Jackson's ex-girlfriend, 51, called police on July 7th to complain about Jackson's phone calls. She showed an officer that calls with the name Deliverance in Jesus' Name, Amen, started coming in at 2:30 a.m. July 6th and kept coming in until 11:53 p.m. the next day, the report stated. The woman told the officer she didn't answer any of the calls, according to the report. The officer recognized the phone number because he'd spoken with Jackson July 5th on another matter, the report stated. Jackson was arrested on suspicion of harassment, repeated electronic communication, a Class B misdemeanor. He remains in the Ector County Jail Wednesday on a $1,500 surety bond. Permian Basin Calendar, here is a listing of upcoming and continuing events in the Permian Basin. Have an event? Email oalife@oaoa.com. After school program registration. The Boys and Girls Club of Odessa, Headley Unit, 1476 North Knox Avenue, is currently accepting registration for after school programs for ages 6 and older through July 22nd. Spots are limited. The program will include a hot meal, homework help, art, computer room, movie room, gym activities, connect room, game room, field trips, and more. Drop-off only fee is $80 per kid. To register, call 432-337-8389 or visit basinkids.org. School Supply Drive. The Odessa East Rotary Club has scheduled a school supply drive through July 29th. Drop-off items at the Abalos Law Office, 520 North Lee Avenue. The drive will benefit ECISD students. This fall, Campfire West Texas will be offering a state-licensed, affordable, quality school care for students on 10 Odessa campuses. Austin, Burnett, Gonzalez, Pease, Bice, Cameron, Ross, Burleson, and Jordan Elementary School. Your child must attend the school offering the Kid Care Program to be eligible. Registration will be accepted until all spots are filled. The after-school programs are operated by Campfire West Texas, and components of the program include homework help, games, arts and crafts, outdoor recreation, and traditional campfire activities and projects. The program will be offered from the time school is out until 6 p.m. Enrollment will be limited, with a child-to-adult ratio of no more than 15 to 1 to provide attention and quality supervision. To register for kids' care, you must complete an online registration form and pay a $20 annual fee for each child enrolled. A weekly $50 fee will be charged per child, and financial assistance is available for those who qualify. Online registration forms are only available at campfirewtx.org or call 432-570-4141. Summer Mummers. The Midland Community Theater has scheduled the 74th season of Summer Mummers' Game of Homes, A Song of Dirtland. Performances will take place each Friday and Saturday through September 3rd at the Yucca Theater, 208 North Colorado Street, Midland. Attendees must be 21 or older with a valid ID to purchase and consume alcohol. For tickets or more information, summermummers.com. Exhibitions. Ballroom Marfa, 108 East San Antonio Street, Marfa, has scheduled the viewing of Projects, Carolina, Quesito, and David DeRosa at the Museum of Modern Art through January 2, 2023, coinciding with the Blessings of the Mystery through September 4th. To learn about the artist process in making the works, listen to their transmissions interview at tinyurl.com/4JTHKX5W. Franco Escamilla, Tour Gabby, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, will present comedian Franco Escamilla, Tour Gabby, at 8:30 p.m. July 22nd. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/2TY2C6XJ. Family Mini Golf. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Family Mini Golf from 4:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. July 27th at the Southwest History and Genealogy Department. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Back to School Drive. First Basin Credit Union is requesting monetary donations for the 7th Annual Back to School Donation Drive benefiting children of the Rainbow Room of the Permian Basin through July 27th. Donations may be made at account number 80001-02 at any FBCU locations in Odessa, Midland, and Andrews. For more information, call Amanda Holly, Community Engagement Coordinator, 432-248-1443, email aholly@firstbasin.com or visit firstbasin.com. Celebration, Chick-fil-A, 3805 East 42nd Street, has scheduled Ms. Ann Mefford 92nd birthday party from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. July 28th. Call 432-550-7421 or visit tinyurl.com/MURP8XTT. Immunization Clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled Back to School Pre-K Immunization Clinic from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. July 28th. Texas requires vaccines D, TAP, polio, MMR, varicella, and Hep A, must qualify for TVFC vaccine and provide updated shot records. For more information, call 432-498-4141 extension 0. Fireworks show. The Monahans Chamber of Commerce will present a firework show at 9:15 p.m. July 29th at the Million Barrel 400 Museum Boulevard, Monahans. Visit tinyurl.com/2P8D8REU. Harlan and Facebook Live. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Harlan and Facebook Live for all ages at 10:30 a.m. July 29th in the auditorium. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Art Fest. Art Fest will take place from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. July 29th at Noel Heritage Plaza, 301 West 5th Street. The event will include a street market downtown with local artists of every kind, live music, pottery demos, painters, food trucks, and more. Visit tinyurl.com/5N7X93VF. Silver Spur Gun Show. The Silver Spur Gun Show has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. July 30th and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. July 31st at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Visit midlandhorseshoe.com. Book Sale. Friends of the Ector County Library has scheduled a book sale from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. July 30th at the Library Basement, 321 West 5th Street. Buy a bag for $5 and fill it up. Cash only. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. OPD Block Party. The Odessa Police Department has scheduled a block party from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. July 30th at the Southside Ballpark, 1201 West Monahan Street. Visit qrco.de/bbzying. Women Arise Revival. Women Arise Revival will take place from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. July 30th at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Highway, Monahans. Speakers will be Unique Arce and Aylin Saavedra. Tickets are available at womenrise.ticketleap.com/monahans. Back to School Bash. Music City Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street, has scheduled a back-to-school bash from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. July 30th. There will be giveaways, live shows, jumpers, character photo booth, school supply drive, and police and fire department meet and greet. Donate school supplies for a chance to win a grand prize. For a full schedule of events, visit https://MRISTO.WIXSITE.com/mallbash2021. 28th Annual Butterfield Festival. The 28th Annual Butterfield Festival has been scheduled from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. July 30th at the Ward County Arena, Monahans. Gates open at 6 p.m. The event will include bull rides and dance featuring Chase the Night Band. Admission is $20 in advance or $25 at the gate. For more tickets or information, call Monahan's Chamber at 432-943-2187. Free Library Hoopla. The Ector County Library will offer anyone in an Ector County zip code a free trial to use Hoopla for a limited time with nothing more than their email address and a device such as a smartphone or tablet. Through July 31st, this service will be available for free for anyone to try up to 4 checkouts. Items available include ebooks, audiobooks, comic books, music, and videos. If you like it, you can then sign up for the more extensive but still free version with a library card. For more information or to check your zip code, call 432-332-0633 or go to ector.lib.tx.us. English Class Enrollment. Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center, PBALC, is currently enrolling for fall English classes. Classes will begin on August 1st and late enrollment will end on August 18th. Classes and tutoring are open to adults 18 years of age and older. Students are required to pay a semester enrollment fee of $25. Through a new partnership with Hearts for Health's Student Refugee Mentor Initiative, SRMI, PBALC will offer English language learners the opportunity to work one-on-one with an SRMI tutor or participate in an SRMI tutor-led conversation group. The tutoring opportunity is only available virtually. Participating students will be required to complete 2 to 3 hours of virtual class time with their tutor each week. Students do not need to live in the Permian Basin to apply. Contact PBALC before August 7th to be considered for this virtual tutoring opportunity. Students are encouraged to contact PBALC's office at 432-682-9693 to schedule their enrollment appointment. Student applications can be completed on PBALC's website at https://bit.ly/pbalc-student. For more information, email PBALC Program Coordinator Andrea DeJong at adejong@pbalc.org. Jesus House Odessa, 1335 East 6th Street, has scheduled its 20th anniversary celebration from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. August 2nd. There will be food trucks and live music. Visit tinyurl.com slash 5DZA8ZZ8.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.